glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
I want to share with you on the subject of authority, faith, and the anointing. Now, there's three things involved here, and I know that we're going to have to move quickly to cover all of these things, but I felt it was necessary to cover all three phases. Sometimes I call it faith and the anointing, but if you do that, you lose some insight. It takes faith, authority, or authority, faith, and the anointing to bring forth a manifestation of God's power in your life. We have to have faith in the authority of the Word of God. You see, in Jesus' day, there was people that had faith in His authority. There's other people that thought He had no authority at all. And there were people that knew He was anointed, and there were other people that didn't believe that He was anointed at all. Therefore, the people that believed in His authority, those that believed in the anointing, got the results of got the benefits of the anointing. See, Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, see, the anointing was upon Jesus. But yet, not everyone that came in the ministry realm of Jesus was healed. In fact, there was a very limited number of people that were in the crowds that Jesus ministered to on different occasions. Now, on some occasions, it said all of the sick were healed. But on some occasions, there'd be only one person in the whole multitude that'd get healed. And the anointing of God was upon Jesus to heal them. But they didn't get healed. So we're going to talk about some of these things. I want us to go to Luke's Gospel, the fourth chapter, and we'll begin there. I'm sorry, the third chapter. We're going to start in the third chapter. We're going to come over into the fourth chapter. Let's begin with verse 21. And when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heavens were opened. The Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. Now, we know that he wasn't the son of Joseph. He was the son of God, but they supposed that he was the son of Joseph. But now notice in this that it tells you that Jesus was baptized somewhere around his 30th birthday, maybe on his birthday. Now, until that time, we have no record that Jesus ever healed a single person, that he ever did one single miracle or cast out any demons. But he's lived for 30 years upon this planet Earth. Now remember, he was born of a virgin. It was prophesied that a virgin would be with child, and that the child that was born would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And we know that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh on this earth. But yet, there's something here that if we don't understand it, it confuses you further on through the Scriptures, and that is the fact that even though Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, for 30 years He operated in the earth as a man. Did no miracles. Healed no one. Didn't cast out any demons. Until the Holy Ghost descended upon Him, and He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and healing power. Now, here's the thing that I want you to see. And I'll not take time to go into great detail in it because we have so much material to cover. But I'll give you enough so you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. You can find your way through it. When Jesus was born on this planet, He was born with a physical flesh, blood, and bone body. He had a body like any other man. He walked like a man. He talked like a man. He ate like a man. He got tired like a man. The reason was because He was a man. Now, He was the Son of God, all right. But yet, he was first of all a man. Now, the reason for that was that God, in Genesis, the first chapter, God said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God gave mankind dominion over the planet earth. Now, in the next verse there, he said, told him to subdue the earth and have dominion over it. In other words, if it gets out of line, it was up to Adam to put it back in line. Don't let it get out of line. In other words, there must have been some possibility that it doing that, and God knew it, and God was telling Adam about it. So, God delivered the authority of the earth to man. Now, I like to say it this way, he gave man a lease on the planet earth. Now, for years, I thought that he gave Adam the earth and the earth belonged to Adam, because there's two scriptures that I never could get to come together into my understanding until the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. There's a scripture in Psalms that says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I think it's the 24th Psalm or somewhere along there. And then there's one that says that God has given the earth to man. Well, I got to thinking, now, did he give it to man, or is it still the Lord's? And then I began to realize that it still belongs to the Lord. But you see, he gave man a lease on it. And the reason that the earth is experiencing today the things that are happening in the earth, the sin and the problems in the earth and the wars and the crimes and all of that, is because that man was given a lease on the planet earth, and until that lease runs out, see, God has done all he's going to do until that lease runs out on that planet when he sent Jesus to this earth. That was the purpose of sending Jesus here, to restore this earth, the authority of the earth, back to mankind. Because Satan came in the garden, deceived Eve. Adam committed high treason. He went into it with his eyes open. He turned the earth lease over to the devil. Now, if you want to know about the earth lease, sometimes people say, where in the world do you get anything about the earth lease in the Bible? Read the 12th chapter of Mark. Jesus describes it exactly. And we won't have time to go into that, but read that. He tells you about the earth lease. There's no doubt that's what he's referring to. Now, what Jesus did at Calvary, because he came here as a man, you see, he had legal authority to destroy the works of the devil because he was a man. See, he had to be a man. If God came here just in his divine Godhead power and started destroying the works of the devil, it would be illegal. And God would be a liar. You see, there's things that God will not do, and one of them is he will not lie. God cannot lie. So for him to come down here as God and start destroying the works of the devil in the earth, then he would have violated what he told Adam in Genesis 1. So what he did, he made a covenant with Adam, he made a covenant with Noah, he made a covenant with Abraham, and the covenant with Abraham was the covenant of all covenants. It meant what I have belongs to you, Abraham. What you have belongs to me. It gave God access into the earth. And each one of these covenants that God made gave him access into the earth to a certain degree. Now somebody said, well, God could just come in here and do anything that he pleased. No, he couldn't, because his word was out. See, he had to do it through man. So he made the covenant with Noah. Somebody said, well, if God didn't have authority to do what he wanted to, how did he destroy the earth with water? He made a covenant with Noah first. He made a covenant with Abraham. Now, the covenant with Abraham was a blood covenant, the greatest of all covenants. And when he called on Abraham to go kill his son, did you notice Abraham did not argue with that at all? He just simply started making preparations to do it. And he raised the knife to kill the child. An angel of the Lord called to him, and a ram was caught in the bushes, and then you hear Abraham prophesy. I don't know whether he knew he was prophesying or not, but he said to his son, when his son said, here's the fire and here's the altar and all that, but where's the lamb? And he said, God will provide himself a lamb. And that's exactly what God did. The whole plan of redemption hinged on whether Abraham would validate that covenant. See, the Bible says that he tempted Abraham. Now, that word tempt in the Hebrew means to prove. He proved that Abraham would keep the covenant. Because if Abraham would not keep the covenant, then it was impossible for God to send his son. If Abraham had refused to give his son, it would have been impossible for God to give his. But because Abraham raised the knife to kill his child, it was written in the Word of God. God said, because thou hast done this thing, then your people shall possess the gates of his enemies. Now, to us that doesn't mean a whole lot, but in that day, if you controlled the gates of the city, you controlled it, man. And what God did, He proved Abraham that he had kept the covenant, and because Abraham kept the covenant, it gave God the legal right to send Jesus into this planet to come and to destroy the works of the devil and undo that which the devil had done and give him his life for the sacrifice to redeem all mankind. Can you say amen? Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Abraham's faith, that he believed that God was able to raise him from the dead. But thank God he did one better than that. He counted it done even though he didn't kill him. Thank God for his faith.
I appreciate so much you joining us for the broadcast today. I trust you've been blessed as we've taught concerning authority, faith, and anointing. Our tape offer this week is offer number 7108, 7108. It's called Authority, Faith, and the Anointing, a single audio cassette for $6 plus $3 postage and handling. Now, on this tape, we talk about the authority of man and the authority of Jesus. Did you realize that Jesus had to have the authority of a man to destroy the works of the devil? The Scripture says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might loosen, dissolve, and undo the works the devil had done. I believe that's what the Amplified says. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Well, God had given the authority of this earth to mankind, so Jesus had to be born on this planet with the physical flesh, blood, and bone body to have authority here to destroy the works of the devil. Because in Genesis chapter 1, God gave man authority over this planet, said, subdue it and have dominion over it. So it would have been illegal for God to come down here in his divine Godhead powers and start destroying the works of the devil after he had given the authority of the earth to man. So if you don't understand the authority that your body gives you, then you will never have strong faith. Because, you see, your body gives you authority on this planet. If you don't know anything else to do, the devil comes around your house, gets your birth certificate out and read it to him. He doesn't have one, and he has a spiritual body, doesn't have a physical body, therefore he has no authority on this planet, and he has to usurp your authority to do anything on this planet. Now, you need this tape. This tape will help you understand why Jesus, after he was baptized in the River Jordan, did great and mighty miracles. But until he was 30 years of age, until he was baptized and the Holy Ghost descended upon him, he never did one single miracle. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400, 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and yes, Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area.